New Secretary Ari Fleischer doesn't have many days left at the White House. On Monday, after briefing reporters for the 300th time, Fleischer will end 2.5 years in the national spotlight. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with Fleischer yesterday in Fleischer's West Wing office.
42-year-old Ari Fleischer has been the official face and voice of a tight-lipped administration. He became nationally recognized when his daily press briefings were carried live on cable TV for weeks after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, as well as during wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. In official Washington, some reporters blame Fleischer for blocking the flow of information from the White House. Sitting in his office under a bank of live TV monitors, Fleischer said cable's 24-hour appetite for news, combined with the fight against terrorism, now requires the White House to be more secretive.
This has been an era that unfortunately has been marked by war. And in times of war, the normal rules about how free-flowing information can be do, of course, get tightened up because people's lives are on the line. But what happens in that briefing room, it's a fascinating exchange. Reporters do their best to get a press secretary to walk out on a limb, knowing that their job is to saw it off after you step on it. Reporters love to do that. I think the briefing room in the modern media era, where cable is covered live, there are competing, many cable stations that compete with each other, they rush to break news and get on the air. I think the briefing has really changed from the older, quieter days, where reporters had more time to think things through, there was more editorial involvement. Now there's a rush to air and a rush to report.
So I heard you describe briefing as intellectual chess.
Yes.
What's the key to briefing, to successfully being a briefer? You've succeeded at this.
The sine qua non to being a successful briefer is to know the president. My answers are his answers. His answers are my answers. I think the press corps clearly understands that if I say something, I am speaking for the president. That requires being in the room with the president, listening to the president. It also requires what's, to me, the hardest part of the job, which is knowing what not to say.
Well, in fact, the president in an interview, when I asked about you, once said, Ari Fleischer knows the difference between knowing and saying.
I mean, things move so fast that I'm in the room for much of what he does, and that includes many of his summits or most of his summit meetings that he'll hold, all his domestic and economic policy briefings, and so I get to hear a lot of what the president thinks and why he thinks it.
He even said that you were on the phone when he's talking to some foreign leaders. I was surprised to hear that.
That's correct. That'll happen from time to time, particularly on the most newsworthy calls, because I know the president's going to want to know what he talked about. And doing that, everything I say must be truthful, and it always has been. But everything that's truthful does not need to be said.
Now, in May, when it was announced that you were going to leave this job, the Washington Post said that you were so tight-lipped that it undermined your credibility with reporters. Others said that you were opaque, a man whose ability to repeat a lie separates him from the amateurs, a man who creates an entire alternate universe.
Nonsense. I think American people can watch the briefings and form their own conclusions. Certainly the White House press corps, which are my regular customers, not liberal columnists who parachute in every now and then. But again, I understand that there is a frustration because of the so-called secrecy. But I really think it's because we're measured against previous administrations, Republican and Democratic alike, in which there were self-important power centers who would provide their own story to the press in an effort to get that to be the accepted version. People in Washington typically leak when they don't think the boss is paying attention, and therefore, out of frustration, they'll put it in the papers as a way to force someone to pay attention to it.
When asked if he ever made a statement that he'd like to retract, Fleischer referred to these remarks he made on October 1st, 2002. It happened after a reporter asked him about the cost of invading Iraq.
The cost of a one-way ticket is substantially less than that. The cost of one bullet, if the Iraqi people take it on themselves, is substantially less than that.
I read that you later said you had one bullet and you shot yourself in the foot with it.
That's what I did with that one bullet. That's correct.
But why was that inappropriate?
Because it is not the place of the White House press secretary to talk like that. That was not our policy, and I shouldn't have said it.
So what happens when the White House press secretary says something that's not the administration's policy? Does Andy Carr, the chief of staff, come to visit? Or
typically, it'll be depending on the level of the goof. You can move up the goof ladder. If it's serious enough, the president will have a word with you, either that or the national security advisor or the chief of staff.
Now, one of the controversies that you got into during your time here had to do with a statement that the Clinton administration, in terms of trying to secure Middle East peace, had not won any kind of agreement, but instead had, in fact, created an atmosphere that resulted in more violence. Did that result in any move up the goof ladder?
Oh, yeah. That rose to the top. No, I issued a statement later that day retracting the statement.
And so who came to visit?
Well, I went right in and told the president. You know, this job is working without a safety net. If you make a mistake, you're going to end up making news. If it happened, I would go in and I would typically tell the president myself. I'd just say, here's what I said, and then the president would say, well, you need to fix it. That's how it works.
And that's it. You need to fix it.
And then I'd talk to Andy and Condi and figure out the best way to do it.
I remember talking with your parents, who told me they're Democrats.
Big Democrats.
And in the course of that conversation, it came up that the president will occasionally ask you, how am I doing with your mother?
Yes, he asked that quite frequently. He had the opportunity, he saw my mother up in New York just about 2 weeks ago. He asked me again, and she's making him work for her vote. She's never voted for a Republican for president. She still thinks Al Gore won Florida. But I think he has a shot at her. He has no shot at my father, but he's got a shot at my mother.
There's a picture over there on the wall of a very young Ari Fleischer.
Yes, I had an afro back then.
What year is that?
That was my fifth grade trip to Washington, D.C. I had hair. We came down to Washington at that time. It's a trip that the school continued to do every year until I got to the White House. So when I worked on Capitol Hill, I always met with the fifth graders. I grew up in a teeny town of 4,000 people in Westchester County, New York. And I love my hometown. I'm very true to it. And I miss the fact that the kids didn't come here after I came to the White House.
Ari Fleischer, thanks so much.
Thank you, Juan.
And good luck.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Ari Fleischer, the White House press secretary. He plans to return to his hometown of Pound Ridge in Westchester County, New York, and start a business advising corporate clients on how to deal with the modern press. His replacement at the White House will be his deputy, Scott McClellan. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.